This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Monday morning after Selection Sunday in the Selection Show, which was done masterfully on CBS, if I do say so myself. We'll talk about the Selection Show coming up as well as the bracket, but I'm just going to head this off at the pass, okay? People yell at me, and I know you're yelling. You yell at me, you troll me, you send me nasty tweets or Facebook posts every single year at this time. Why? Because I do fill out a bracket. I do, in fact, make predictions when it comes to March Madness. But the difference between me and you is that I'm pretty damn sure my predictions are not going to be accurate. In fact, I tell you, do not listen to my predictions or follow my predictions. It's March Madness. If I knew what was going to happen, it wouldn't be any fun at all. So I don't have any tips for filling out your bracket, though I will tell you that my younger niece almost always wins the family bracket challenge, and she very often picks chalk. But for some reason, my mom picks chalk too, and she still loses. So I have no idea how it happens. I just know that the rest of my family knows very little about sports, but we do a family bracket challenge every year. I've never won. I do this for a living, and I've never won. So start there. Throw everything you know out the window because it doesn't matter. And then you're ready to fill out your bracket. In fact, you're ready to be part of the After Hours Bracket Challenge. And yes, I will be participating. So the house rule about not making predictions, we bend it. I bend it. I made it so I can bend it, dang it, this time of the year. So you need to find the link. It's pinned to the top of our Twitter page, After Hours CBS, though I'm going to retweet it right now while I'm talking to you because I'm good like that. It's also on the top of our Facebook page. So if you haven't joined us, now that we actually have the bracket in hand, it's time, folks. It's time. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And it gets you inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We did have a ton of NFL news over the weekend, so we'll squeeze that in before we get to the back end of the hour when we'll be joined by Liberty Flames head coach Richie McKay. And for those of you who follow UVA basketball on a regular basis, well, Coach McKay was the associate head coach to Tony Bennett for 6 years there before he went back to Liberty. So this is actually his second head coaching stint with the Flames, and he returned in 2015 after he spent some time under Coach Bennett in Charlottesville. And so I'm anxious to ask him about that time because I'm a big fan of Coach Bennett. I don't know anyone who's not. But the Liberty Flames win the A-Sun for the first time ever because they just joined the A-Sun and they earned their fourth NCAA tournament spot in their program history. And so we'll talk to Coach McKay about a half hour from now. Just off the top, if you're waking up this morning and you're looking more closely at your bracket, well, you know that three of the top four seeds come from the ACC. So Duke getting Zion Williamson back on the court in time for the ACC tournament does earn its bid as the overall number one seed and fills out that spot in the East region. First time, though, is the top number one in 4 years. And so for the Blue Devils, for Coach Krzyzewski, it's a brand new crew, of course, a lot of freshmen, but Zion Williamson is the key. And I don't know if you stayed up on Friday night late. For those of you who are waking up right now or getting ready to go to work, generally you're early to bed and early to rise, right? But Friday night, it was a game that was worth watching, even though it's Friday night and a lot of us tend to have other plans. Not me. I like Friday night at home, my sweatpants. But this was a game that was a fantastic tug of war throughout. And so you put Zion Williamson back on the court and you get the semifinal matchup against UNC. And it was appointment TV or appointment radio, whichever one you prefer. It was also, it was cool that Zion got his UNC moment, right? Because he had blown out that shoe in the first minute of their original matchup and then missed the season finale when they squared off again. And so this was perfect. And the fact that it went down to the final seconds was fitting for this rivalry.
Waiting, now a handoff for Zion Williamson, top of the key, looking to drive, crosses over, into the paint, spins up on Little, can't get it, Taffolo by Zion, puts Duke back in front. Too strong, and the rebound for Little, so North Carolina can win it, 9 seconds left. Here's Kobe White up the right side, 7-6, 5-4, 30 feet out, 3-2, step back, fadeaway, three, rattled out, and the Blue Devils win it! 74-73, Zion Williamson, the hero. He goes for 31.
David Shumate, and this was the semifinals. And credit Duke for not having an emotional letdown in the championship, for being able to close out the ACC title. But as you hear on the Duke IMG Sports Network, it was drama filled all the way to the end. It was back and forth, back and forth. So if I'm not mistaken, I think I remember the first half, UNC actually had a double figure lead. It may have been up somewhere between 11-14, but they started out the second half poorly. It was actually tied at halftime. They started out the second half poorly and Duke was able to pull in front. It was so good. It was the best that you could ask for. And that's one of the things about this rivalry that makes it so compelling. Even if you don't really love college basketball or you're tired of hearing about Duke and UNC, it was so good, and it always is. I mean, they're almost dead even in their, what I call it, their career rivalry. That's a weird term. Their overall record head-to-head. That's just awkward. All of that's awkward, but you get what I'm saying. It's a good rivalry always. So Duke ends up getting Zion Williamson back just in time to become the overall number one. However, UNC is not left out in the cold. The Tar Heels are number one in the Midwest, and all three of their titles under Roy Williams have come when they've been as a top seed. And there was another nerd alert. I've got to pass this along to you. I did not find this, so I'm going to give credit to the listener who tweeted this to me. Let me just find it really quick. Okay. Vinny says on Twitter, I have a nerd alert for you. He says, and this is talking about another number one seed in Gonzaga, but I like the fact that I, as I was talking about North Carolina, he popped this up. Third time as the number one seed for Gonzaga, their first and second rounds in Salt Lake City all three times. So the pattern sometimes can be helpful. So with Roy Williams, they've been a number one seed when they've won their three titles. With Gonzaga, Salt Lake has been a place that's been good to them. Now, will they finally get back to the Final Four, maybe have another shot at the championship? We'll see. So Gonzaga, the number one seed that's not out of the ACC. Virginia rounding out those four. There's no way they're not facing the same demons last year with that UMBC game. If I remember correctly, that was also a Friday night, because I remember being home in my chair and having my laptop in front of me. So I enjoyed watching it from the comfort of my own home, having my laptop in front of me and Twitter, the March Madness Twitter at that moment, because it wasn't a close game. UMBC had a big lead and Virginia just had nothing. And it was so much fun to almost to kind of share that basketball conversation with the nation as it was happening. I'm pretty sure that was Friday night as well. So, hey, this time of the year, you don't make plans on a Friday night if they don't involve college basketball. So we've got Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, and then we've got Gonzaga. If you missed my conversation with sophomore forward Corey Kispert, well, that's part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. A great talker, and actually a wake-up call for Gonzaga when they lost in their conference championship. This is a team that scored 100 points in the semis and was held to 47 by St. Mary's in the championship game. And so, for sure, it was one of those, whoa, slap you in the face, you better be ready the next time you step on the court. And I had a good time talking to Corey about that moment. I asked him, you know, how in the world do you prevent that from happening again? And he had some really strong words. Also, I didn't know about Corey. He was recruited by UVA. So he had his choice, Charlottesville or Spokane. And he talks about why he picked Gonzaga and why it's been the right thing for him. So both Corey as well as Jerry Palm, who is here in studio to talk about his brackets, that'll be part of our podcast. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. The plight of Villanova, we've talked about this a couple times. As a sixth seed, the defending champ had a real topsy-turvy season and will have to take on the 11, which is St. Mary's. So that's their first opponent. And waiting for them in the next round, if the Wildcats win and seeds hold true, would be Purdue. So a really strong inside game. I appreciate the experience of the defending champs and the fact that they've got some guys who've logged tournament time, but they also made this a lot harder on themselves. Though don't tell that to Coach Jay Wright, because he's not buying that seeding is all that important.
Yeah, we take it. You know, over the years we've had good, bad, all kinds of different bracketing, seeding situations. We're happy to be in it and know that we got a hell of a matchup against teams just beat the number one team in the country.
So, yeah, for St. Mary's, who knocked off Gonzaga, they're playing some good basketball, too, and feeling confident. Other things that jumped out at me from the bracket, Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars are a three seed as well, which is really cool. And so the idea that you work all year long, all season long, and we talked about the crying and the blood and the sweat and the tears, and you put everything you have into it, but this is where it pays off. So we have Kelvin Sampson in Houston against Ron Hunter, Georgia State. Remember that run not that long ago? That was fun. And so that's a 3-14 matchup in the Midwest, where North Carolina is the top seed. Kentucky ends up falling to a 2 seed in that same region. And for the Wildcats, they lost to Tennessee in their conference semifinals. And then Tennessee had a chance to grab a 1 seed, but lost to Auburn in the SEC championship. So the Volunteers remain a 2 seed, as does Kentucky. Your 2 seeds are Michigan, who fell to another 2 seed, Michigan State, in the Big Ten championship. The Big Ten, by the way, has more teams in than any other conference. And then Tennessee and Kentucky. So you have 3 top seeds from the ACC. You have 2 number 2 seeds from the Big Ten and 2 from the SEC. So definitely the power conferences are represented, but there are 11 conferences out of 32 this year that have multiple teams in, which means more of that parity and more of the opportunities for the mid-majors. So a lot to sift through, a lot of settling. Again, we'll talk to Liberty Flames head coach Richie McKay in the back end of this hour, but straight ahead, it wasn't just Selection Sunday dominating the headlines over the weekend. It was also some big-time football news, so we'll try to pick that apart as well. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for joining us here. A happy Monday to you, After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We've got college basketball on the brain, to be sure, and we'll welcome Liberty head coach Richie McKay coming up following the update at the bottom of the hour. Good to talk to him, and it's always fun to get a snapshot inside the programs where March Madness is not the norm. They have the opportunity, sure, every year, but to understand how much it means to a mid-major, to a school that's only ever had 4 tournament appearances in program history, I mean, they don't take it for granted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. If you want to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge, it's pinned to the top of show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We've got a poll up as well, which is the first of the top seeds to exit stage left this year. Last year, of course, it was UVA. And all that stuff is available on our Facebook page, too. But for a moment, before we get back to college hoops, just want to run through some of the big stories in football from the weekend. Lest you think that the NFL took the weekend off. That's a hell nah. In fact, I say this sometimes and it's a joke, but I don't know. Maybe it's accurate and the NFL is, in fact, paying attention. It feels like the league offices get supremely jealous when we start to focus on something else as sports fans. So every time there's another big sporting event going on, in this case, March Madness, the NFL is a jealous lover, gets really upset that it might lose our attention even for a nanosecond. And so out comes news like, Kareem Hunt, the 8-game suspension that happened on Friday. And then right on the heels of that announcement from the NFL comes the news that Ryan Tannehill has been traded to the Tennessee Titans. Now, maybe like you, my first thought was, what does this mean for Marcus Mariota? Followed quickly by, okay, so what are the Dolphins going to do at quarterback? So we'll answer that question in a second because we do, in fact, have the answer. But with Marcus Mariota being the guy that the Titans have said is their franchise guy, their starting QB, I know he's had injury issues. Hello, Ryan Tannehill. But it was interesting to hear what John Robinson, the GM, had to say about the dynamic between Mariota and Tannehill in Nashville.
You know, I talked to Ryan when we kind of started the process, and he understands that he's coming in as a backup quarterback. I've talked to Marcus and told Marcus he is our starting quarterback. Ryan is here to help Marcus, to push Marcus, to compete with Marcus. And, you know, the one thing after talking with Marcus, he said, you know, one thing, John, that I believe with all my heart is that you try to do what's best for the team and you try to put us in the best position to win football games.
Well, to have a veteran starter. So Blaine Gabbert, yes, a veteran, but he has been released to make room for Fitzpatrick. To have a veteran with a lot of experience, Tannehill spending 7 years in Miami is certainly a plus. The issue, though, is, of course, that both of them have had major injury problems and challenges. So we'll see how much they can actually push one another. But it is good to have a Tannehill back there if Mariota's not going to be able to play all 16 games.
Marcus Mariota.
That never gets old, ever. Haven't heard it in a while, but it's just as funny. Thank you, Roger. Good morning to you, too. So then the Dolphins part of this. Now, we thought they might be making a change at quarterback. Okay, we knew this was a possibility. I've had it in my notes for weeks, and I keep referring back to the fact that he was scheduled to make $26 million in 2019. And the fact that he missed 25 games the last three seasons. And the fact that Adam Gase was in part fired by the Dolphins because he was committed to Tannehill. Because he was tenacious in his commitment to Tannehill. So with Gase out, with the Dolphins appearing to do the slow burn rebuild, we'll get to that in a second, they obviously wanted to save money. So the big deal here is, while you don't necessarily upgrade at quarterback, I guess I'll leave it to you to decide how much of a drop Ryan Fitzpatrick is, or maybe you think it's a lateral move. Totally an opinion thing, and we'll see how it plays out. But the idea is you're saving money. The Dolphins are saving some money in 2019. They're saving much more money in 2020. I read one column, I think it was a local column about the Dolphins, that estimated, was probably the one I read in the Miami Herald, estimated that they could have $125 million in cap space in 2020. No, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not your long-term solution. Nope. In fact, he's a stopgap. He signs a 2-year deal they may not even have him that long. We'll find out. But the idea, of course, is they have to get a franchise QB. So is this tanking for Tua, tanking for Trevor? Tanking is not a great option in the NFL because things change so drastically from year to year that there may very well be a team that's worse than you. But to have that kind of money under your salary cap certainly seems like an indicator that, at least initially in the Brian Flores regime, poor guy, they're not trying to win or not trying very hard. So Ryan Fitzpatrick it is in Miami. And then they'll find that franchise QB at some point. Probably, I would say, considering that they draft 13th this spring, it seems more, and there aren't that many quarterbacks that you can build a franchise around, it seems more likely that they would find one in 2020. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. A couple of other football notes that jumped out at me. Max Unger retiring after a decade. So the Saints having to fill that hole on the offensive line. And then the Raiders and Donald Penn go their separate directions. And so those are a couple of O-line stories that got me. This may be rumor, it may be conjecture, but it certainly caught my eye. The Giants don't think that Dwayne Haskins fits their system. You know what their system is? Their system is old quarterback. I swear they're going to die on the Eli Manning hill. Holy cow. Draft a quarterback, you yahoos. And so that was something else that caught my eye. It may or may not be accurate, but that was also something that was floating around over the weekend. So you can find me on Twitter if you want to react to the Kareem Hunt 8-game suspension. It's impossible to know if he's truly remorseful unless you know him personally, which I do not. But the fact that he is not appealing, the fact that he is taking the 8-game suspension and not trying to see the NFL reduce it, to me, that goes a long way toward convincing me that it's not just about him getting caught. Now, you can be skeptical, of sure. You can be cynical if you want. But I talked about this back when the Browns signed him. Don't appeal this. If you want me to believe that you care at all and that this is something that you want to change in your life after multiple incidents, not just the one in the hallway that was caught on tape in Cleveland, well, then don't appeal a suspension. Take it and then get back to work. So the Browns now know it will be an 8-game suspension. All right, coming up next, Liberty Flames head coach Richie McKay, fourth NCAA tournament bid in their school history and the first one since 2013. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, I want something just like.
Lipscomb will inbound it, and the clock will run out. Liberty is the 2019 A-Sun Champions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a moment. Alan York captures it on the Liberty Flame Sports Network. Love those automatic bids. Love the schools that never take it for granted. And that certainly is Liberty. It's first year in the Atlantic Sun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Our annual show following Selection Sunday. We've had some really great guests, and we're pleased to welcome Richie McKay, the head coach of the Liberty Flames. And coaches, it's this time of the year where there's not a whole lot of uniformity. Some teams just finished winning their conference championships or just finished. You guys have had some time. In fact, a week off since winning the A-Sun. So I'm really interested in what you did with your team during this downtime before now the tournament starts to amp up.
Yeah, great question, Amy. First of all, the anxiousness of waiting for the opponent and who you're going to play was agonizing. Like I think I looked at 45 different brackets, and and after about opponent number 22, different opponent number two, I just said, the heck with it. I think I'm just going to wait until Sunday. But as far as our guys are concerned, you know, it fell for we had a week off with the spring break. Our guys didn't have class, so we thought it would be good to kind of adopt a little bit of the Greg Popovich theory. Whenever they had an extended amount of time off, they would go one day on, one day off. Well, we gave them three of the first days off, and then we practiced every other day for the next couple. So we only practiced probably three times in the last seven, but they didn't have class. And at Liberty, you have to do this Christian service thing that you have to get a certain amount of hours. So our guys kind of got a chance to plug in, do some clinics, visited some underprivileged kids, and really got to invest and pour into other people, which is what's the neatest thing about our guys. This is a phenomenal collection of young men, Amy, and I get the privilege to do life with them every day.
That's awesome, and what a reward to make the NCAA tournament. But as a coach, how much concern is there about now going nearly another week before you play on Friday?
Yeah, I think the time off came at a good place in our season because we needed to get our bodies refreshed a little bit. But now on the back end of this and not playing until Friday against a really good Mississippi State team, I think there is some angst that, hey, we're not going to be as sharp as we were the way we finished the season. However, we have a mature group, and I think we'll be invested in the cause, excited to be there. So I'm not overly concerned with it. I do think the way we come out in the first five or so minutes are important to the game. But this group has been pretty resilient, and they've shown a bit of maturation in some of the challenges that we've had throughout the year. So I'm excited about the way we come out, and hopefully the time off is good, but not it hasn't been too much so that we don't have too much rust to shake off.
You tie a school record with 28 victories. You win the Atlantic Sun the first year that you're in the conference, earning the program's fourth ever NCAA tournament bid. Coach, how much does this mean to you as a guy who left and worked under Tony Bennett at UVA for several years? I look forward to hearing more about that. But you came back for moments like this.
Yeah, Amy, great question. I've been asked that a lot. I never left Liberty the first time for what Liberty wasn't. I left it because of my longtime affinity for Dick Bennett, who's Tony Bennett's dad. And he's a mentor of mine, and it wasn't his. And Tony and I were really good friends. So the opportunity to go and serve instead of being served, because I think when you're a head coach, you just constantly are on the go thinking about you're all consumed. And I needed some mind space to get back. And so it was a blessing to go work for Coach, but having a chance. When I left, I never thought I'd have an opportunity to come back because we had won 23 games and people were a little frustrated. But to have the opportunity to come back was an absolute blessing. And to get a 12 seed, Amy, from the A-Sun, the Atlantic Sun Conference in the NCAA tournament, it speaks to the quality of the league, at number one, but the accomplishment that our guys have made.
We're spending a few minutes with head coach Richie McKay of the Liberty Flames, the 12th seed in the East region, fourth tournament appearance in program history. Coach, I don't know that there are many people that I admire more in college basketball than Tony Bennett. You mentioned his dad, but you spent 6 years with Coach at UVA on his staff. What did you take away from that time? What did you learn from him?
Well, you and I both. He's younger than me, but I certainly admire him. And this is his 14th season, Amy, in college basketball. And I think he's been National Coach of the Year in some poll in at least six of them. So it speaks to what quality of a coach he is. He's absolutely phenomenal. And, but as good of a coach as he is, he's a better man. And I think the way he leads his life, his faith is obviously incredibly important to him. He walked in integrity and he's got that, you know, he's a great looking guy that's got unbelievable hand-eye coordination. So everything he does, he wins at, like golf, tennis, table tennis. He's invincible in a lot of those games. So he's easy to hate from a competitive standpoint, but also easy to love because he's such a humble guy and so about the right stuff.
That's really cool. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone talk about Coach Bennett like that. Coach McKay of Liberty with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I've seen interviews with you, Coach, in which you've talked about that 13-game losing streak just 4 years ago. When you look back over this stretch now, what do you believe are the major factors in this incredible turnaround?
Yeah, another good question, Aime. You know, Coach Bennett Sr., Dick Bennett, said to Tony when he first got the Virginia job, and I was privy to some of those conversations, he said, the first thing you got to do is get guys you can lose with first. And I just thought that was a magnificent phrase because what he meant by that was you had to have all in for the team guys. And Brad Stevens says it another way. He says you're either a great teammate and fully invested or you're not. And I think for me, one of the things that we wanted to do was to make sure that we were committed to getting guys that were the right fit for our program, guys that wanted to be a part of a shared experience, a part of something bigger than themselves. And we were dogmatic from the onset that we were going to get our system in, the pack line defense, and we were going to try and play the right way offensively and recruit the right people. And I think the blessing for me is 4 years later, you know, we get the golden ticket, if you will, I do watch American Idol, and we're in the NCAA tournament. So not to say we've arrived because I still think we're a work in progress, but certainly again, to get the 12 seed in just our fourth year, I think it's a real privilege that all of us, feel a deep sense of gratitude for.
So considering everything that went into it, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the time, what was that moment like a week ago, Coach, in Nashville? You beat Lipscomb. You earned the automatic bid. What was it like when all those emotions washed over you?
Yeah, the moment was it was fabulous, Amy. I'm telling you. And probably one of the reasons why or what made it so neat was the atmosphere, the stage that Allen Arena had. I think that's the name of their arena in Nashville at Lipscomb. It was tremendous. They had a sold out standing room only crowd. They're an unbelievable team. Like I was telling everyone that I knew, they're really worthy of at large consideration. I mean, I think they were that good. So to have a chance to win on their court with that kind of environment, it just showed the maturity of our group and the stick-to-itiveness I think they have in trying to pursue something great. Again, we haven't arrived, but I do think we're pursuing. And to see their faces, celebration, Amy, it was one of the reasons you coach. Again, that shared experience where guys are so thankful that throughout the journey to get there, they learned and appreciated the life lessons. And now that they've arrived, they know that it was not just because of them, but because of one another. Adulation. It was an awesome experience.
Amazing story for the Liberty Flames and their head coach, Richie McKay, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned their maturity, coach, and they're going to need all of that and then some as you go cross-country, national stage, the big spotlight, the 12-5 matchup against a Power 5 school in Mississippi State. How much do you expect them to have some nerves, some anxiety?
I'm sure it's everyone in our program's first time in the tournament that's not on the coaching staff. So I'm sure there'll be those nerves. That I'd be disappointed if there weren't nerves. But I also think that our group is, we challenged them a little bit in the non-conference. We played a couple SEC schools in Vandy and when they had Darius Garland in Alabama. And we also played UCLA and Georgetown. So we really tried to see if we couldn't invest in building a non-conference schedule that if indeed we were good in the conference tournament and good during the regular season in our own conference, that they would be prepared for an assignment like this. And although it remains to be seen, I do think the way that we got better throughout the season is a small indication of the hope that we have to be really competitive against, like you said, a really good Power 5 team that's got a Final Four coach and a really good program.
One of the things I enjoy doing when I talk to coaches, especially when I'm scouting for radio or TV, is to ask them for the ways they would describe their team. And so I don't want it to be my words. I want it to be in your words, coach. How would you describe your guys once they get out there and the ball tips off?
Great question, Amy. Is Coach Allen listening? No, I'm just kidding. I think for me, having been with Tony Bennett and being so fond of Coach Dick Bennett, I would hope to say that we're a defensive identity program. I don't think we're great every night, and you have to be great in order to have a special season. But I do think we're getting better, and I like the way we defend, especially when we're at our best. So that's first and foremost. And then offensively, we've got a balanced team. Anyone could score in double figures that plays for us, and we play nine guys. So I think it's an unselfish team that plays the right way, but also knows who we're not. And knowing who you're not sometimes is as important in the equation. So if we stay in our lane in San Jose, I think we'll have a chance to hopefully be competitive with the Bulldogs, but we do know it's an arduous task, but we're looking forward to it.
Oh, actually, I wanted to ask, what did Coach Bennett say to you this week about making the tournament?
He just congratulations, and he was excited for us. Yeah, he's really good like that, and I told them congratulations as well because I knew they were going to be a number one seed.
We always look forward to the 12-5 matchups. We'll see if the Liberty Flames can be one of the stories of the first round. Friday against the 5 seed Mississippi State in San Jose, Coach Richie McKay has got his guys into the tournament for the fourth time in school history. Coach, it's awesome to talk to you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
I just appreciate your witness, and you're a sports fanatic. I love that. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.